every single tab you have open on your computer right now, well, it's actually vanishing.
Yeah, literally decaying into absolutely nothing.
Right. And the only reason your screen hasn't crashed, the only reason you are able to listen to this audio right now, is because this frantic, microscopic system is rebuilding your data thousands of times a second.
And it's an absurdity that hit a very hard, very expensive wall late last year.
Exactly. So today we're doing a deep dive into a research post from the Memory Stack series. It's titled, How DRAM Works and Why It Got Scarce. We're going to explore the almost absurd physical reality of how our devices remember information.
Because the source material pulls this wild data from TrendForce, highlighting what happened in the back half of 2025. Between September and December, spot prices on standard 16 gigabit DDR5 memory chips skyrocketed from $6.84 to $27.20.
Which is a nearly 300% jump in just 3 months. If you tried to build a PC or, you know, buy a new phone around then, you definitely paid for that jump.
Oh, absolutely. The research notes phone manufacturers were suddenly forced to either hike the prices of their 2026 models or, and this is sneaky, quietly put less RAM into the exact same chassis just to protect their margins.
Which is wild.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the instinct is to blame standard economics, right? Like supply chain hiccups or just corporate greed. But the root cause here is actually physics.
It is. To understand why prices exploded like that, we first had to look at why it's so incredibly difficult to manufacture DRAM today. We have to look at a fundamental, inescapable physical flaw in the memory architecture itself.
Okay, let's get into that architecture. Because when I picture computer memory, I imagine a tiny, incredibly stable, microscopic vault where my data just, you know, sits locked away safely.
Yeah, right, that makes sense intuitively.
But the force paints a wildly unstable picture of what's actually happening.
Yeah, so the foundational building block of DRAM, the physical mechanism that stores a single bit of information, is called a 1T1C memory cell.
1T1C, let's break that down.
That stands for one transistor and one capacitor. The capacitor basically holds a tiny electrical charge. Charge means a one, empty means a zero.
Got it. And the transistor?
The transistor just acts as a toll booth gate, letting the processor read or write that charge.
That sounds, incredibly basic. Just one gate, one bucket.
It is, but its simplicity is the only reason we can build modern computers. The incredibly fast memory built directly into your processor, which is called SRAM, needs six entire transistors just to store a single bit.
Wow, six.
Yeah. So by only needing one transistor and one capacitor, DRAM is incredibly cheap and physically dense. You can buy a 64 gigabyte stick of DRAM at the store, whereas the SRAM on an ultra high-end processor maxes out at just a few dozen megabytes.
Okay, but there's a fatal flaw with that single capacitor setup, right? The source calls it the leak.
Yeah, the leak. Modern DRAM capacitors are unbelievably small. On advanced nodes, a single cell's capacitor holds less than one femtofarad of charge. The standard is around 0.7 femtofarads.
Let's give that number some context, because femtofarad doesn't mean much to the average person. We're talking about a microscopic amount of electricity, right?
Extremely microscopic. A static shock from dragging your socks across a carpet and touching a doorknob. That contains billions of times more electrical charge. We are literally talking about corralling small clusters of individual electrons.
That's insane.
And because that charge is so unfathomably small, it doesn't stay put. It bleeds away into the surrounding silicon all on its own in mere tens of milliseconds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Left alone for even a fraction of a second, your electrical one quietly decays into a zero. The memory just forgets.
Wait, okay, let's unpack this. So if I'm understanding this, if SRAM is like a solid titanium flask that holds water perfectly without ever spilling a drop, DRAM is basically a tiny paper cup with a pinhole in the bottom.
Yes. And the hole never stops leaking.
So how does my computer not just blue screen every 5 seconds? The only way to keep that paper cup full is to have some kind of frantic worker desperately pouring water back in to replace what leaked out.
Exactly. And the industry calls that process a refresh. To prevent your system from forgetting its own operating system, the memory controller uses sheer brute force.
Brute force how?
It reads every single cell and rewrites the electrical charge back into it over and over again, every 32 to 64 milliseconds, depending on the temperature of the chip.
So millions of times a minute, my computer's just aggressively reminding itself what it's doing.
That constant, never-ending regeneration is actually where the D in DRAM comes from. Dynamic random access memory. The data is never sitting still. It is constantly decaying and being reborn.
That sounds exhausting for the hardware.
It is. And this refresh tax is incredibly expensive. Constantly rewriting billions of microscopic cells burns electricity. On dense modern memory modules, this brute force refresh cycle eats up over 10% of the DRAM's total power budget, even when your computer is asleep.
Which explains volatility. I mean, if you pull the power cord on a desktop, the RAM gets wiped instantly. You cut the power, the frantic worker stops refilling the paper cups, the charge drains out the pinhole, and all your data vanishes before you even blink.
Exactly. Speed, volatility, and power drain are all just symptoms of this one physical limitation. They are inescapable physical realities of the 1T1C cell.
Which brings up a massive contradiction, honestly.
Yeah.
If we're still using this basic leaky paper cup from the 1970s, how do we keep getting faster memory? Every time I go to a tech store, there's a new acronym, DDR4, DDR5, LPDR, GDR. You're saying the physical bucket holding the data hasn't actually improved?
The underlying bucket is exactly the same leaky 1T1C cell. All that alphabet soup, DDR4, DDR5, LPDDR5X, GDDR7, that just describes the interface.
The interface, meaning how they connect.
Right. It dictates the operating voltage, the width of the data channels, and the clocking speed. It's simply a change in how the processor talks to the bucket.
Well, I have to play the skeptic here for anyone listening who just spent $200 upgrading their PC. If DDR5 uses the exact same leaky bucket as DDR4, why does upgrading even matter? Isn't the whole blistering speed marketing pitch a bit of a trick?
It's a fair question, and it requires debunking a very persistent myth about how computer memory speed is measured. Most people assume that because DDR5 is the newer generation, it has lower latency.
Latency being the actual physical time it takes the processor to request one specific byte of data and get it back, like the reaction time of the memory.
Yes, and DDR5 does not have better raw latency than well-tuned DDR4. In many benchmarks, it's actually slightly worse. The physical time to fetch a single byte hasn't improved.
Wait, really? Then what are we paying for?
Throughput. You aren't getting a single byte of data any faster. You are getting vastly more bytes delivered at the exact same time. Think of it like a highway.
Okay, a highway.
DDR4 launched back in 2014, and it topped out at a certain number of lanes handling about 25.6 gigabytes per second of total traffic. DDR5 drops the operating voltage to save power, splits the memory module into independent subchannels, and massively widens the highway. It pushes past 9,600 megatransfers per second.
So they didn't raise the speed limit, they just built 10 more lanes.
Exactly. And for modern workloads, particularly AI, throughput is everything. An AI model doesn't care about fetching one tiny byte quickly. It needs to stream massive parallel gigabytes of neural network weights continuously. A wider highway is absolutely mandatory.
Right, and this highway widening is happening everywhere, but taking some really weird forms. The source talks about LPDDR low-power GDR. Historically, this is the stuff designed for smartphones, right? The RAM that compromises a bit on raw desktop power to save battery life.
Usually, yes. The newest LPDDR6 hits about 14.4 gigabits per second while keeping power draw incredibly low. But the fascinating shift is where this phone memory is now being deployed. It is being heavily utilized in NVIDIA's Grace class AI CPU servers.
Wait, hold on. Phone memory is notoriously sluggish compared to massive desktop modules. Why on earth would you put compromised phone RAM into a $1 million AI data center rack? That makes zero sense.
It makes perfect sense when you run up against the physical limits of a building's electrical grid. For years, we accepted LPDDR in our phones because the design constraint was a tiny lithium-ion battery. Today, the design constraint for a massive data center is the local power plant.
Because they draw so much power.
Right. A single AI training rack can pull tens of kilowatts. A massive chunk of that electricity is spent simply moving data around and paying that refresh tax we talked about just to keep the leaky memory alive.
I see. So if a data center uses low-power phone memory, every single watt they save on RAM
goes directly into powering more GPUs. The physical power constraint of a 6-inch smartphone and a $1 billion server farm turned out to be the exact same problem, just scaled up by 6 orders of magnitude.
That is wild to think about. And on the complete opposite end of the engineering spectrum, we have GDDR graphics, DDR. The source mentions GDDR7, designed for monster gaming GPUs like the RTX 5090. That memory is hitting 48 gigabits per second. But the source credits something called PAM3 signaling. Can you break that down? Because it sounds like we're finally doing something different than just making the highway wider.
We are changing the cars on the highway. Traditionally, memory uses NRZ signaling and non-return to zero. It simply sends a low voltage for a zero and a high voltage for a one, two states.
Simple enough.
But PAM3 stands for pulse amplitude modulation with three levels.
So instead of just low and high.
It introduces a middle voltage. It transmits a negative one, a zero, or a positive one. By using three distinct electrical states instead of two, PAM3 signaling squeezes 50% more data into the exact same tick of the clock cycle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Combined with a massive 512-bit wide bus, it achieves nearly 1,800 gigabytes per second of total bandwidth. It sacrifices all power efficiency for pure, ferocious throughput.
But again, strip away the PAM3 signaling, and the wide buses and the physical cell storing that data is still the exact same leaky 1T1C paper cup.
Always.
So we have this neat orderly progression. We have DDR5 for desktops, LPDDR for AI power saving, GDDR for graphics. It sounds like an industry humming along perfectly. Which brings us to the market inversion of 2025, because this whole orderly system completely derailed, creating a bizarre economic anomaly that wrecked the consumer market.
Yeah, the panic of 2025 started with standard industry housekeeping. By early 2025, DDR4 was over a decade old. In June, Micron issued formal end-of-life notices for its DDR4 components. The big three memory makers, Samsung, SK Hynix, and Micron, were all actively migrating their fabrication plants away from legacy DDR4 to produce high-margin DDR5 and AI memory instead.
A completely normal tech transition, right? Retire the old nodes, start printing the new expensive chips. But the big three didn't actually trigger the massive price spike, did they?
No, the initial shock actually came from China. A rising mainland memory manufacturer named CXMT realized they also needed to pivot away from older tech to stay competitive. When they suddenly shifted their factory output away from DDR4, they yanked a massive percentage of the world's cheap DDR4 supply out of the ecosystem overnight.
Just gone.
Gone. In May 2025 alone, spot prices for 8 gigabit DDR4 jumped 56%.
And then the market inverted. By July 2025, decade-old DDR4 actually became more expensive to buy than cutting-edge DDR5. This is like, it's like waking up and finding out they stopped manufacturing the specific spark plug for your vintage car. You and every other mechanic panic and buy up the global supply, and suddenly an old rusty spark plug costs more than a brand new EV engine part.
That's exactly what happened. The tech industry experienced a massive last-time-buy panic. You have to remember how much infrastructure relies on DDR4. Older data centers, industrial robotics, telecom networking boxes, medical appliances.
They can't just upgrade.
Right. They are physically hardwired for DDR4. They cannot use DDR5. When the cheap supply vanished and buyers realized Samsung and Micron were dedicating all their fab space to the AI boom, they hoarded every single DDR4 chip they could find.
And the big memory manufacturers just sat back and watched.
Well, Samsung and SK Hynix saw the astronomical spot prices and reversed course.
Mm-hmm.
They extended DDR4 production lines well into 2026. Not to help consumers, obviously, but to harvest the massive, unexpected windfall. Decade-old technology was put on life support simply because panic made it temporarily more profitable than the cutting edge.
Which raises a really obvious question for me. If old memory was suddenly a gold mine and new memory was in completely insatiable demand, why couldn't the fabs just do what they've done for 50 years? Why not just shrink the memory chips, print twice as many bits per silicon wafer, and flood the market to capture all that money?
Because Moore's law is failing DRAM, the physical geometry of the universe is finally saying no.
Okay, let's get into the geometry. Because processor logic chips are constantly shrinking. We hear about Apple and AMD using 3-nanometer and 2-nanometer nodes. But DRAM hasn't done that.
No, DRAM has been stuck in what the industry roughly calls the 10-nanometer class since about 2018. They can't even use nanometer measurements accurately anymore. They've resorted to Greek letters to signify minor generational steps. 1X, 1Y, 1Alpha, 1Alpha, 1Beta.
Yeah, the source mentions Micron's early 2025 1-gamma node only offered incredibly incremental gains, like a 30% bump in density, 20% lower power. We used to see capacities double every 2 years. What physical wall are they hitting?
The capacitor is the culprit. Remember, a capacitor physically holds an electrical charge. To hold enough electrons to actually be readable by the processor, it requires a minimum amount of physical surface area. If you shrink the overall footprint of the memory cell to fit more onto a chip, the capacitor loses surface area. It physically cannot hold the charge.
Wait, if you shrink the footprint of the cell, but you absolutely have to maintain the surface area of the capacitor, do they dig down? Are they building it vertically?
They build upwards and etch downwards. They basically create microscopic skyscraper drinking straws in the silicon.
That sounds physically impossible. You're saying you take billions of microscopic straws, and to keep the surface area, you're making them taller and thinner with every single generation.
Yes. The aspect ratios are pushing past 50 to 1. Imagine a skyscraper that is 50 times taller than it is wide. Now imagine etching billions of them onto a piece of silicon the size of your fingernail.
How does that not just instantly collapse? A tiny vibration would snap them.
That is the exact yield problem stopping Moore's law right now. If even a handful of these microscopic straws bow in the middle during manufacturing, or taper at the bottom, or accidentally lean over and touch a neighboring straw, it creates a short circuit, a dead bit.
And when you have 64 billion of them on a single stick of RAM, the odds of a few touching are essentially 100%.
Exactly. The yield, which is the percentage of working chips you actually get off a production wafer, so sharply that pushing past this wall becomes technically possible, but economically pointless.
So we are just fundamentally stuck. No more cheap memory forever.
Well, the engineering roadmaps show two escape hatches, but neither is easy. The first is a layout change. Since 2007, the industry has used a 6F squared cell layout.
Stop there. What is F?
F stands for feature size, basically the smallest line the lithography machine can draw. A 6F squared layout means the transistor, the capacitor, and the wiring are arranged in a specific staggered grid that takes up a certain amount of space. The industry is currently trying to shift to a tighter 4F squared layout.
Okay, so they aren't shrinking the cell, they are just rearranging the furniture to waste less dead space on the grid.
Precisely. SK Hynix actually demonstrated a working 4F squared chip at the 2025 VLSI Symposium. It cuts the physical area by about a third without having to shrink the actual capacitor, but it is a temporary band-aid. It buys the industry maybe a few more years.
So what's a permanent fix?
True 3D DRAM, turning the entire chip on its side.
Right. The source mentioned NAND flash storage did this years ago. When solid-state hard drives hit a scaling wall, they just started stacking the memory cells on top of each other like a high-rise apartment building. Why hasn't DRAM done that yet?
Because a NAND flash cell traps electrons in a floating bait. It's relatively flat. Stacking a DRAM cell requires stacking those massive 50-to-1 skyscraper capacitors we just talked about.
Oh, that sounds like a nightmare.
It is. The mechanics of etching deep vertical holes through multiple stacked layers of silicon without hitting the wiring is immensely difficult. Viable mass production of true 3D DRAM isn't expected until the early 2030s.
So this is why scarcity wasn't a corporate choice. It was raw geometry. It was the literal foundation of the universe. And surely this same geometry problem isn't just annoying PC builders. If AI needs massive throughput, this must be choking the big data centers too.
It is the absolute bottleneck of the AI revolution, which brings us to HBM high bandwidth memory.
Yes. You see HBM mentioned in every single article about AI. It's the memory sitting right next to the processor on an NVIDIA GPU. And the source claims HBM accounts for roughly half the total manufacturing cost of the entire AI accelerator. We treat it like this magical, hyper-advanced alien technology.
But it isn't. HBM is literally just ordinary DRAM dies.
Wait. So what does this mean for the AI boom? Are you saying these trillion-dollar AI companies, their most advanced, expensive accelerators, are entirely dependent on these exact same leaky paper cups?
It is the exact same 1T1C architecture with the same fragile skyscraper capacitors and the exact same power-hungry refresh tax. To create HBM, engineers take standard DRAM wafers, grind them down until they are incredibly thin, stack them vertically, usually 8, 12, or even 16 layers high, and punch thousands of microscopic wires called through-silicon vias down through the stack to connect them all.
But if they're just stacking leaky buckets, think about what we talked about earlier, the refresh tax. If rewriting the data millions of times a second generates massive heat and eats 10% of the power budget on a flat, single chip, what happens when you stack 12 of them directly on top of each other?
You create a thermal doom loop. Heat is the natural enemy of DRAM. The hotter a capacitor gets, the faster it leaks its electrical charge.
Oh no.
Yes. The heat from the bottom layer rises into the middle layers. The hotter those middle layers get, the faster their tiny paper cups leak, which means the memory controller has to increase the refresh rate to keep the data alive. But refreshing more often requires more electricity, which generates even more heat.
They are literally fighting the basic physics of the cell just to keep the AI from crashing.
Every physical limitation we've discussed today is inherited and multiplied by HBM. The hottest, most valuable chips on planet Earth trace their lineage directly back to this single, flawed, deeply frustrating physical architecture.
I mean, we started this deep dive trying to figure out why a stick of RAM got so expensive, and we ended up uncovering a microscopic thermal doom loop holding back artificial intelligence. The capacitor refused to shrink, which stalled scaling, which collided with an AI boom that bought up all the fab capacity, which caused a global panic for decade-old DDR4, which ultimately emptied the wallets of anyone trying to buy electronics late last year.
It is a remarkable cascade of cause and effect. And there is one final, really provocative thought from the source material regarding the geopolitical future of all this.
The lithography machine angle. Let's get into that.
Right now, making the most advanced logic chips requires EUV extreme ultraviolet lithography. These machines, mostly made by ASML in the Netherlands, use light with a wavelength of just 13.5 nanometers. They are essentially hyper-precise scalpels used to draw unfathomably tiny, flat 2D lines.
And they are highly restricted, right?
They are the most geopolitically restricted manufacturing tools in human history, specifically to keep adversaries from advancing in AI.
Countries are literally banning their export. But the source notes that the future escape hatch true 3D DRAM in the 2030s might not actually use EUV. It might rely on older, less restricted DUV or deep ultraviolet machines. Why would we take a step backward to an older tool?
Because EUV is incredible at painting tiny lines on a flat plane, but 3D DRAM doesn't need flat lines. It needs to stack layers and punch incredibly deep vertical trenches through the silicon. DUV machines use a larger wavelength of light. Think of it like a camera lens with a deeper depth of field. DUV is physically better at maintaining focus down a deep vertical trench than EUV is.
Oh, wow. So the specific physical requirement of stacking memory vertically actually favors the older machine, which raises an incredible geopolitical question for you to mull over. DUV machines are older technology. They are widely available and actively used in places like mainland China. If the future bottleneck of AI memory suddenly requires older DUV machines to drill deep trenches rather than the highly restricted EUV machines, what does that do to the global tech balance of power? Could a step backward in manufacturing tools totally rewrite who controls the future of AI hardware?
The tools governments thought were absolute requirements for dominance might be bypassed simply by the sheer geometric necessity of stacking memory vertically. It shifts the entire battleground.
It just proves that in technology, the biggest global shifts don't always come from some sleek new invention. Sometimes they come from hitting a brutal physical wall and having to dig under it with older tools. Thank you for joining us on this exploration of the memory stack. The next time you look at your phone, just remember the frantic microscopic system inside, desperately refilling billions of leaky paper cups just so you don't lose your place in an audio track. Keep questioning the hidden physics running your digital lives. Catch you on the next deep dive.